Hear the word of God as it is written in the Gospel according to St. John. John chapter 1, reading verses 35 to 51. This can be found on page 810 of the Pew Bibles. After Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist, the Gospel writer records the first encounter between Jesus and a number of his disciples. John chapter 1, reading from verse 35. The following day, John the Baptist was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth!" exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. As he approached, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth, you will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is a stairway between heaven and earth." To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. In the news this week, there have been one or two places struck by heavy snow, and the sight of some drivers caught in snowdrifts reminded me of the winter snowfall we had here in View Park in 2011. The snow was so deep that the M8 and the M74 were just car parks. People abandoned their vehicles and sought shelter. The roads were impossible to drive on. I heard the story of one young driver who got lost in her car in a snowstorm. She remembered what her dad had once said to her. "If you ever get stuck in a snowstorm, wait for a snowplow and follow it." Sound advice, I thought. Well, luck would have it that not too long after she got stuck, a snowplow came along. And following her father's advice, she followed it. She'd been following the snowplow for about 45 minutes when it suddenly stopped in front of her. And the driver got out of the vehicle and walked back to her car and knocked on her window and asked her what she was doing. She explained that what her dad had told her, and that if she ever gets stuck in a snow drift, that she could follow a snowplow. The driver just scratched his head and said, "Well, I've finished clearing this car park at Asda. You can follow me to Tesco now if you want." This morning we continue our exploration of what we can learn from the people that Jesus met. 2 weeks ago we began with John the Baptist. Last week we looked at Simeon. And this week we're going to look at the first disciple of Jesus. Being first is a big deal. We can only imagine how Neil Armstrong felt as the first human being to ever walk on the moon. Or how the Wright brothers felt who were the first to fly. Now imagine being the first follower of what is the most popular religion in this world. According to the Bible, Jesus had 12 close disciples. One of them had to be first. That man was Andrew, the first follower of Jesus. Now, if you are Scottish in any way, then you probably have a soft spot for Andrew. That same can be said for if you are Russian or Greek or from Barbados, to name but a few of the countries who share in having Andrew as their patron saint. Very little is known about any of the 12 disciples before they were called to follow Jesus. What we do know about Andrew is that he was born in Bethsaida, a small town in the Sea of Galilee. He was a fisherman by trade, along with his younger brother Simon, later renamed Peter. There are different accounts of exactly how Andrew came to be the first disciple. The Gospel of Matthew claims that Jesus was walking along the shore and saw Simon and Andrew fishing together. He then called them and promised to make them fishers of men. The Gospel of Mark tells a similar story, while the Gospel of Luke only mentions Simon and not Andrew, at least not directly. Our Bible reading earlier from John gives us a different tale. In his gospel, Andrew is already a disciple of John the Baptist, who recognizes Jesus as the Messiah and tells his followers to become disciples of Jesus rather than himself. And Andrew does that and later brings his younger brother Simon to Christ as well. The biblical scholars disagree on exactly how to reconcile the differences in these stories within the Gospels. But all scholars and all theologians agree that what really matters is that Andrew and Simon became disciples of Jesus. John's version of events illuminates something special about Andrew's treatment in the Bible. In all four Gospels, Andrew is really rarely mentioned by name. He's simply one of the 12. On the occasions that he is named, however, it is nearly always in a story about bringing somebody into a relationship with Christ, just as he did with his younger brother. When the multitude needed to be fed, it is Andrew who brings the young boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus. When Philip, one of the other disciples, is approached by some Greeks who want to meet Jesus, he does not take them directly to Jesus. No, instead he takes them to Andrew, who then takes them to meet Jesus. Any doubt that stopped Philip from taking the Greeks to see Jesus, perhaps because they were not Jews and therefore not included in the good news that Jesus was bringing to the Israelites, were doubts not shared by Andrew. Let me ask you this. If a stranger told you something and it sounded too good to be true, would you believe them? Probably not. But if your best friend told you the same thing, would you react in the same way? Or would you be more inclined to trust what your best friend said? If you did not know Jesus and a stranger told you to follow him, what would you do? Again, probably nothing. In fact, you'd be more likely to walk away than walk towards Jesus. I remember in years gone by, walking down Buchanan Street in Glasgow city centre, and as you neared Argyle Street, you were bombarded by the sound of a man preaching in public, a modern day John the Baptist, if you like. And in a loud voice, he would tell you that the end was nigh, that you were a sinner, that you need to turn from your evil ways and follow Jesus, or you would burn in hell. And I remember cringing and crossing over the road to avoid him. There was another in Socky Hall Street who stood near C&A's. That's the one I know of, the ones I remember. But there could have been more. And looking back now, I wonder if any people turned to Jesus because of those men. In my youthful naivety, I thought none. But today, knowing the power of God's word, I'm sure there were some for whom a seed was sown. And it made me ask myself some questions this week. If someone shouting on a street corner did not bring me to Jesus, how did God get me to follow him? And how did God get you to come here this morning? How did he get you to become a member of this church? Or if not, to be here wondering what the heck you're doing here? And how does God get people to follow Jesus out there in the world today? In our Thursday night Bible study, we are currently looking at the basics of our Christian beliefs. And one area we recently explored was that God is the creator, not just of this world, but of the whole universe. And when we stop in our busy lives and take a moment to look at his creation, to really look at his creation through eyes of wonder and delight, then our souls can appreciate the creator. The Apostle Paul highlighted this in his letter to the Romans chapter 1, in which he said, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God." Creation is one of the many ways that God reveals himself to humanity. Each way is suited to the individual needs of that person. For some, it's revelation through nature. For others, it's through personal vision like Joseph in a dream, or through an encounter with an angel in the case of Mary. For some, it's through a personal calling, as in the case of Samuel, who heard calling to him in the night as a young boy. For others, like C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest defenders of the faith in the 20th century, yet who was once a determined atheist, it's through scriptural rationalization and the witness of trusted friends like J.R.R. Tolkien. I believe most people would be more inclined to believe the witness of their best friend than the bombastic preacher on a street corner. And I think the reason for that is obvious. There is a relationship with our best friend, a relationship that involves time, trust, and love. I was brought to Jesus by my best friend. My wife, Carol, is my best friend. And when we started dating, I wanted to be with her so much that when she asked me to come to church with her, I agreed. In coming to church, I heard stories I knew from my younger days, Bible stories from Sunday school, stories that had sown seeds in my soul. I came to church because of my best friend. I came to meet Jesus because of my best friend. But I came to know Jesus because of Jesus. And I came to follow Jesus because of Jesus. Carol did her part. She brought me to Jesus. She then did what she had to do. She left the rest to Jesus. She did not Bible bash me. She did not nag me or tell me what to believe. She simply brought me to where I needed to be. That's the example that Andrew sets in the gospel. We bring people to Jesus and we leave the next bit in the capable hands of the Lord. It's not our job to convert people from atheism to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It's our job to tell them about Jesus, about his love and his sacrifice, about his forgiveness and his gift of grace. And yet that job that Jesus commissions all of us to do, brings pain as well as joy. Because not all of the ones we tell about Jesus will come to know him and accept him as their Savior. And the closer that person is to us, the greater the pain and the greater the frustration. But we need to remember that not everyone who actually met Jesus in the flesh accepted him as their Savior. Jesus knows this. Jesus knows this, and yet his commission still stands. And even though we may feel we're going round in endless circles, getting nowhere, like the young woman driver following the snowplow, Jesus wants us to continue in being his witnesses in this world of doubt. He wants us to bring people to him over and over again, so that one time, when the Spirit is willing, the seed that we have sown will take root. Just as a snowplow clears the car park of snow, the seeds that we continue to sow in our words, in our prayers, and in our deeds will help clear the barriers that the people we meet and the people we love have built around our hearts, so that one day they may see with wonder and joy the love our Lord Jesus has for them. This we pray they will surely come to know. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, as we look round this place, we see some seats that are empty. There is space here for more people. And there are people out there, Lord, who are so close to our hearts. People we wish could come to know you. And though we've told them about you many times in the past, so many times, Lord, that sometimes we feel like giving up. Lord, we're glad that you do not give up, that you always reach out to them and to us, and you will never give up. Lord, help us to remember that it's not our job to change them. It's just our job to be there as your witness, so that they will see your love and hopefully one day come to know you and be saved. Lord, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.